Hebrews chapter 12 is where we are this morning. Hebrews chapter number 12. And we are moving slowly but surely through this wonderful chapter. And this morning, let's just look at verses 3 and 4. As we looked at last week, the Bible says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." Verse 4, "Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin." So verse 4 is what we're going to focus on this morning. An interesting statement. "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Now the picture we see in verse number 4 is of a spiritual warfare. The words striving in verse 4, the words resisting, the words blood, they describe not just a race that we're in, the race of faith, the Christian race, but they describe a spiritual battle that we're in. These are words of warfare. These are words of battle. Blood, striving, resisting. As we've seen already, the Christian life is a life of faith. And the moment that you and I receive Christ as our Savior, we are enrolled in God's school of faith. We are enrolled in a lifetime journey where the Lord is teaching us and changing us and helping us to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you and I graduate, that's the moment that we see the Lord face to face. Amen? And by the way, that might be any moment. So we've been encouraged to run the Christian life by faith. The school of faith that we're in has been compared to a race, as we've seen already. Not a short distance race, but a marathon. A long distance race. That where we fall, we need to trust in God's grace to pick us up and to keep going. But now as we come to verse number 4, we see the picture of a soldier, a battlefield. And we're reminded that the Christian life is a spiritual warfare. Now, many times in the Bible, the Christian life is compared to a warfare. We know that. At the end of his life, at the end of his race, if you will, what did Paul say? "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course." So there's the race, but it's a warfare. He wrote to Timothy, "Fight the good fight of faith." That's right. Fight the good fight of faith. So our life of faith is a spiritual warfare. And the Bible exhorts us to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And what the author is saying to the readers is that they have to be willing to fight, willing to stay in the battle, even to the point of shedding blood. Shedding blood. And of course, the example given to us earlier in the passages is whom? Consider him. Who's him? Jesus. That's right. See, the Lord Jesus Christ, he fought the fight. Amen. He came to do the will of the Father, and he went to the cross and shed his holy blood to pay for our sins. And in the light of Christ's sacrifice for us to purchase our salvation, nothing ought to be too great a sacrifice for the Lord. And here in the Word of God, we're reminded about Christ's sacrifice. His physical suffering on the cross is unimaginable. We don't understand the pain he went through. We can try and imagine, but we understand he went through physical pain, but he also went through a spiritual pain, spiritual suffering as he was separated from God the Father, and our sins were placed upon Jesus Christ. And in the end, he shed his blood for us. Now, the author writes this letter to these Christians because if we would study the book through, there were some believers here that were being tempted to waver, being tempted to depart from the faith. And the writer is challenging them to stay in the battle, reminding them, yes, there will be difficulties in the Christian life. There will be opposition in the race. You know, when we think of a race, we think of everyone running together, and there really isn't any opposition other than the race itself, perhaps the difficulty. But the Christian life is a battle. It's a spiritual warfare. So we're going to look at three quick things from this short verse, Roman numeral number 1. The author exhorts them to fight unto death. Your first blank is the word death. There in your notes, Roman numeral number 1, fight unto death. Notice verse 4, ye have not yet resisted unto blood. Resisted unto blood. Now as we look at Hebrews chapter 11, we can see a great example of those who have run before us, those who have finished their race, those who have lived by faith, those who have gone before us. Now, many of them faced trials and difficulties, and many of them were delivered. In Hebrews 11, we can think of Daniel and his three friends, and how the Lord delivered them, did he not, in a great and mighty way. The Lord delivered Daniel from the lion's den. The Lord delivered the three friends from what? What were they thrown into? A fiery furnace. Now, they were ready to die for the Lord. They were ready to give their lives. They were ready to resist unto blood, but God delivered them. But many of those in Hebrews 11 were not delivered. Have a look in Hebrews chapter 11. Notice verse 35 and onwards. Halfway through verse 35 in Hebrews 11, notice what the Bible says with me. Thank you for turning there. You see, many believers were not delivered. Many courageously suffered for their faith, even unto blood. Notice halfway through verse 35, and others were, what's the next word? Tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith. So here we see a list of believers that obtained a good report. Some were delivered, but some were not. And in verse 35 onwards, we see those who are willing to shed their blood for the Lord Jesus Christ. These are ones who resisted unto blood. These were ones who died a painful death for the faith. Notice the words there. The word tortured. The word tortured. That's where we get the word tympany from. And you think of that word tympany. Describes a musical instrument, a drum, the skin stretched out over that instrument, and that's a description of the torture believers went through. One of the means of torture was stretching a person over a wheel to the point of breaking their bones, breaking their skin. Then they were beaten to death. And by the way, remember this is the book of Hebrews before the Roman Catholic Church. Oftentimes we think of the Dark Ages, and of course we know believers were severely persecuted, but the author of Hebrews is speaking about those in the past, those who suffered for their faith. You see, many believers before who went before died for their faith. They were sawn asunder, the Bible says. You see, these are words of torture. These are words of painful death, sawn asunder, being cut in pieces for their faith. Tradition tells us that the prophet Isaiah was martyred by being cut in half, and they were truly faithful unto death. When we think of the New Testament apostles, Stephen, how did he die? The first martyr. He was stoned to death. Mark was dragged through the streets. Luke was hanged. Peter and Simeon were crucified. Andrew was tied to a cross. James was beheaded. Philip was crucified and stoned. Bartholomew was flayed alive. And we can go through the list of the apostles and we can see how they were willing to resist unto blood. They were willing to die for the faith. Paul. Now, if you believe that Paul is the writer of this book, and I personally believe that he is, he himself died for the faith. He himself gave his own blood to fight a good fight and finish his course faithfully. Now, the author is writing to these believers. Don't forget, you're in a spiritual battle. And you need to be willing to keep fighting. You need to fight to the very end. Now, you and I may not ever experience anything like this. You and I will probably never have to make a choice in the way that these believers made a choice. But let's be honest, the peace that we've been enjoying is quickly disappearing. If things go the way they're going, the peace we've enjoyed as Christians will perhaps bring us to a place where we'll have to get serious about our faith. Are we willing to suffer for Christ? Are we willing to resist unto blood? Are we willing to run the race to the very end? See, the heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11, and God is careful to give us some specific examples of their suffering, is that they did not give up even unto death. They did not waver. And the example is given to the Hebrews to encourage them to keep going, to keep pressing on. And that's good for you and I to know, because so often we can give up at the littlest thing, you know, the most inconvenient thing. And we can be tempted to quit. And we need the example of believers that have gone before us to encourage us, hey, let's be honest, our inconveniences are nothing compared to what many believers have gone through in the past. And sometimes we need a good wake-up call and say, hey, we're in a spiritual battle, amen? We are in a warfare. So don't be surprised when opposition comes. Don't be surprised when persecution comes. Perhaps these believers in Hebrews were struggling with the persecution from the religious Jews. Maybe they were being tempted by the world to go back into the way they used to live before they were saved. We don't know what the battle was that they were facing, but the Apostle Paul was encouraging them to look unto Jesus. He finished his course, and to fight to the very end, to continue in the battle. Notice Roman numeral number 2, we are to fight the enemy. There in your notes, the blank is the word enemy. We'll keep pressing on. The word enemy. Notice verse 4. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against, what's the next word? Sin. Striving against sin. Now, we have three main enemies in our spiritual battle. We have, what's one of them? The world. Secondly, the flesh and the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, so often we concentrate on one of them, don't we? Usually we either concentrate on the world or the devil, but the one we don't like to deal with is which one? Which enemy? The flesh. That's right. Our own sinful flesh. We like to blame the devil. We like to curse the world and say, will not the Lord take me out of this world? But we have a sinful flesh. And the reality is, the enemy that the author is reminding us to battle against is which enemy? Striving against sin. The enemy of sin. Our own sinful flesh. You see, this passage is not talking about striving against people, striving against a group of people, the devil, but sin. And that's what we need to understand. In the spiritual battle, sin is the enemy. Sin is the enemy. Sin is the enemy. Sin is the enemy of our faith. You know, when there's sin in our lives, you and I aren't living by faith. We are not growing as we should. We are stuck in our sin. Sin is the enemy of the gospel. And when we consider Christ, we consider how He ran His race. He ran His race with joy for the joy that was set before Him. That's the gospel. Amen. That's the finished work of the cross. And as Christians, we need to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have a calling and a purpose. Christ has paid for the sins of the world, and we are to go out and to make Him known. That is our calling. And anything that gets in the way, such as sin, is the enemy of the gospel. the enemy of you and I being able to be his witnesses. And so we are to fight unto death, but also we are to fight the enemy. To fight the enemy. When we got saved, God gave us a calling. And that calling is to preach the gospel. That calling is to be his witnesses. And we need to deal with the issue of sin in our lives. Sin is the enemy. Sin is the enemy of faith. Sin is the enemy of the gospel. And we have to fight against it. Now, as we look at verse number 4 and we understand who the audience was, who was being written to, you see, verse number 4 is in fact a rebuke by the Apostle Paul. He says, "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood." Look, you haven't given your lives for the gospel. Many have. Many have. You need to be willing to fight and to go all the way as a Christian. And then he said, and you need to strive against sin. You see, these were believers that had begun with great zeal and great passion and desired to be sacrificial. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. Notice there. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. "But call to remembrance the former days, in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions." So these believers had experienced a measure of suffering. These believers began their faith with zeal, with passion, with excitement. But you see, it's not enough just to be saved and to begin with excitement and passion. We need to continue to run the Christian life with that same passion, with that same desire for God and a matured desire, matured conviction. And somewhere along the way, as I said, maybe because of persecution, maybe because of the world around them, they were being tempted to cast away their confidence in the Lord. They were being tempted to depart from the faith. They had started well, but they were not resisting unto blood, striving against sin. And so we're reminded, like these believers of old, that we have an enemy. Sin. We have an enemy. What stumbles us, what holds us back from running the Christian life? What did we learn in the first few verses of Hebrews chapter 12? Laying aside every weight and the sin. It's sin. It's sin in our lives. And that's refreshing. It's good for us to know. So we're not wondering why we're stuck. We're not wondering what the hindrances are. God tells us it's sin. And we need to strive against it. We need to continue to fight the good fight of faith. And the only way that you and I can press forward in the race is to deal with those sins. To recognize, yes, that is a sin. And it's been there. I haven't been dealing with it. And I am not being effective as a good soldier of Jesus Christ because of that sin. Because I just don't want to deal with it. I don't want to give it to God. I don't want to lay it on the altar and say, "Lord, I can't have victory over this. But Lord, I believe in your supernatural power and your enabling grace. Not only can you cleanse me from all unrighteousness, but Lord, you can give me the strength to say no. And Lord, I need your help." And by faith, we lay that sin on the altar and we ask for the Lord not only to forgive us, but to help us. And we come daily and we say, "Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need your enabling." And we look to the Lord's strength to help us. But how often do we let that sin just sit there? And then another one piles on top. And then another one. And suddenly we're weighed down. And I think I remembered giving you an illustration of a runner in the Olympics. You know, imagine if someone turned up at the starting line for the 100-meter sprint and he was wearing gum boots and work clothing, and a raincoat, a big hat. And imagine him standing there at the starting blocks trying to run the race. How far would he get? Well, not very far. He'd be slowed down. You know, you try and run, he might trip over his big boots and get up again and fall over again. Well, what does he need to do in order to run properly? He's got to cast off those weights. He's got to cast off those sins. He's got to take off those boots. He's got to lay them aside. Amen? Got to deal with them, striving against sin. Now, only in heaven will we be sinless. So this is a part of our school of faith, continuing to deal with sin. And thank God He has already given us the victory in Jesus Christ. Thank God we simply need to, by faith, claim His victory as our own and allow the Lord to show us in greater ways how much we are indeed dead to sin and alive unto Jesus Christ. And yes, we can say no. But it means you and I will need to strive purposefully. And no one can do that for you, and no one can do that for me. We can't do that for each other. We need to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What is it that keeps us from being a witness? What is it that causes us to lose that passion? Well, it's our sin. It's our sin. That's what blinds us from the need of the world around us. So fight the enemy, brethren. The enemy is sin. Amen? Fight the enemy. If you're fighting the enemy within, the enemies without will not be as oppressive. If we can deal with the enemy within, we can keep pressing forward by faith, and it's really the sins of the flesh that cause us to stumble at the end of the day. If we are close to the Lord, then we can overcome the world. Amen? We can overcome the enemy of the world and the devil's temptations. But the devil can't cause us to sin. He uses the flesh. He uses what's already there. He knows what we are holding on to. And so we need to deal with those sins. Now, lastly in your notes, fight for the faith. Now, Hebrews 11 reminds us that we've been blessed by those who've gone before. They've set the example. They resisted unto blood. They strove against sin. And the challenge is, will we fail the test or will we finish our course with joy, by faith? We've got some wonderful examples in Hebrews chapter 11. And we need to continue to keep our eyes on the cause. What is the cause of our life? What is the cause? Why has God left us here? Go ye into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. The Great Commission. That wasn't just given to the Apostle Paul. That wasn't just given to the apostles. But every one of us here this morning have been called to fulfill the Great Commission, to witness, to disciple, to see new believers baptized, to multiply, to preach the gospel. That's what the Lord has called us to do. And that's what we need to keep in our focus. You see, at the end of the day, our focus needs to be on the cause of the gospel. Christ kept his eyes on the cause. That's how he endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. That's why he endured. He did not lose sight of the bigger picture. He did not lose sight that, hey, though there are those who are speaking against him, his closest friends ran away from him, abandoned him. He still kept his eyes on the cross, the goal, the purpose. And our goal is the gospel. So we need to be very careful not to allow those sins to keep us from the cause, the faith. We are to fight the good fight of faith. Amen? We are to hold up the banner of faith in our families, in our homes, in our church, because there is a purpose. There is a cause. The cause of Coastline Baptist Church isn't a fellowship of encouragement to make believers feel accepted. Now, we love fellowship, amen? We love food. We love Christian friendships. But what is the cause? Is it a place of friendliness? Well, it should be. A church should be. A place of unity. Yes, amen. But what's the purpose? Why does pastor get frustrated when perhaps so few want to come to a letterboxing outreach? Because our purpose is not enjoying notes and lessons and, you know, nice messages. Praise the Lord. Great. But what's our purpose? Our purpose is to fulfill His calling, which is to preach the gospel. If the Word of God is not getting into our hearts to cause us to run the race and to be a witness, then we've just wasted our time on Sunday, have we not? We've just wasted our energies. We've just wasted our desires. God has called us to fight the faith, fight the good fight of faith. We are to reach out, to go out, to preach the gospel. We are to deal with our sins this week. That's what the lesson is all about. What sin is there stopping you from handing out that tract, handing out that gospel invitation, visiting your neighbor? You know, once perhaps you had a burden for them, but now, well, maybe I can't care less, to be honest. I've got my own problems. Well, there's some things to deal with. Because when we get our hearts right, well, we'll be knocking on our neighbor's door. We'll be asking to have a cup of coffee with them, sharing our testimony. But we need the Lord to revive us. We need the Lord to revive us. How can He revive us? Well, we need to ask Him to break up that fallow ground. We need to allow Him to deal with our sins so we can fight the good fight of faith. You know, sometimes we think the devil wants to get us off track and destroy our lives because that's what he loves to do. Well, let me assure you, the devil has not lost sight of the bigger picture. You and I are not important to the devil. He couldn't care less about you and I. What he cares about is the cause of the gospel. And he knows if he can get you in a place where you no longer care about being a witness, he has won the battle in your life. He doesn't care about you or your family. He doesn't care a thing about what will happen to you. What he cares about is you being a witness. See, that's why we need to strive against sin and fight to the very end. Sin hinders us from doing what God has calls us to do. We need to focus on the cause of the gospel. That's why we need to look unto Jesus. So let me encourage you with this short little verse in Hebrews chapter 12 to not give up in the battle. Amen? The Christian life is a battle. The Christian life is a life of endurance. Continue to strive. Don't give up. Amen? As we strive, we will experience victories. As we strive in the Lord's grace and His enabling, He will help us. And if we've become a bit lazy with our sins, well, let's allow the Lord to deal with them. You know what they are. I know what mine are. You know what yours are. We don't know what one another's are. That's okay. The Lord does. And He wants us to deal with them so that we can be a light, that we can be a gospel, not only a gospel preaching church, but a gospel witnessing church. Let me encourage you, church family, to resist unto blood, to fight to the end, and strive against sin for the cause of the gospel. That is part of living by faith.